The word of the Lord given to us today is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. Luke chapter 2, 21 to 24. Allow me to read the words. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Amen. Samuel the prophet was given to God according to his mother Hannah's pledge soon after he was weaned, and he grew up under the care of Eli the priest. In those days when the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the word of the Lord was rare and everything was unclear. There were no prophets who were delivering God's message, and there weren't many who were seeking God's will. At that time, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and not just in the physical sense. Eli should have been living as a channel for God's light and the light of the world to shine through in the world, but he was completely failing in his role. Not only Eli himself, but his 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also evil men who did not know the Lord, despite the fact that they too were priests. One night, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord because it was his job to watch over the lamp of God. It was then when the Lord called Samuel. Samuel thought for sure that the voice calling him was that of Eli, so he ran to the priest. But it had not been Eli, and the priest told the boy to go and lie down again. But when Samuel lay down, the Lord called him again. So the boy ran to Eli again. But Eli said, I did not call, lie down again. So Samuel went and lay down, and the Lord called him again the 3rd time. Again, Samuel arose and went to Eli. It was then that Eli perceived that something special was happening, that the Lord was calling Samuel. The Lord called Samuel for the 4th time, and Samuel did as Eli instructed him and replied, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is what the Lord told Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 goes, Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. God was telling Samuel that he would be judging the household of Eli the priest. The news was so shocking that God said it would tingle the ears of everyone who hears it. This expression, at which the 2 ears of everyone tingles, was also used to describe the shock people felt at the siege and destruction of Jerusalem. In fact, not long after this, the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the Lord's presence with Israel, was captured by the Philistines, and Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed on the same day. Upon hearing the news, Eli fell over backwards from his seat, and his neck was broken, and he died. The wife of Phinehas was pregnant and about to give birth when she heard the news about the Ark of God and the death of her father-in-law and her husband. She gave birth to a son and named him Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed, before also dying. The word that Samuel received from God was indeed enough to make one's two ears tingle. But this is what Samuel did after hearing such surprising and shocking news. 1 Samuel 3:15 testifies, Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Hearing God's voice was the starting point of Samuel's life as a prophet. But even after hearing the Lord's voice, Samuel did not put himself forward. He did not fast and pray and ask God to continue speaking to him in mysterious ways as he had done last night. Instead, as he had done every day, Samuel got up in the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord so that the priests can do their job. The Lord worked through Samuel, who was faithful in his everyday life and everyday faith, to close the doors on the era of the judges, which was an era of spiritual darkness, and to open the era of King David and set Samuel as the gatekeeper for the new era. There are times in our lives when we experience something out of the ordinary or something mysterious. It might happen because we longed and prayed for it, or the experience might have happened out of the blue. Unexpected. But what is more important than an extraordinary or mysterious experience is the fact that we need to come back to our daily lives after the experience. Peter, James, and John went up the Mount of Transfiguration to pray with Jesus. On the Mount, Jesus' appearance changed, and his clothes became as white as the light. And Jesus talked about his death with Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, and John had been dozing, but now they were wide awake. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The Lord did not bother to even answer Peter. In other words, what Peter was saying was gibberish to the Lord. And when they came down from the mount, they were met with a desperate father who begged Jesus to heal his demon-possessed son. The disciples, including Peter, wanted to remain in that extraordinary and mysterious experience. But the Lord showed through his actions that living the ordinary life along with other people and ministering to them was more important. Today's message also talks about the importance of daily life and daily faith. The shepherds who had been tending their flock out in the field heard the news of the Savior's birth from an angel of the Lord. The angel said that the baby in the manger was Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds went to Bethlehem to find the baby, and after finding him, told his parents what they had heard about baby Jesus. Then the shepherds left. Mary and Joseph were probably greatly surprised by the shepherds' visit. The two had not grown up in Bethlehem. They had traveled here from Nazareth, which was located some 80 miles away because of the emperor's decree for a census. So the shepherds would have been complete strangers to Mary and Jesus and Joseph. And yet they came and told them exactly of who the baby in the manger was. After the shepherds left, Mary and Joseph did not boast about how baby Jesus was born. They did not proudly proclaim that they were the parents of the Savior Lord. Mary and Joseph performed all the rites of faith to Jesus that every baby born during that time had to go through. Today's passage talks about three such rites. The first is circumcision. This is what verse 21 says. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus was circumcised at the end of 8 days. John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus, had also been circumcised at the end of 8 days, as written in Luke 1:59. We talked in detail about circumcision during the sermon on that passage. At the time, the Israelites strictly observed the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as the Sabbath every week. But considered even more important than observing the feasts and the Sabbath was performing circumcision on a male baby on the 8th day of his birth. Circumcision is done to show that someone has become the Son of God. However, Jesus was someone who did not need circumcision. Jesus is God himself, so who would be circumcising him and declaring him son of whom? And yet, Jesus was circumcised. The one who is above the law went under the law. This is what Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 tells us. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We were dead because of our faults and sins, and we were not God's children. But Jesus came under the law and died on the cross to complete the law. That is why, if we believe in the Lord as our Savior, we can become God's children. Jesus was circumcised not for himself, but for ourselves. Reading verse 21 more closely, we can see the main focus of the verse is not on the fact that Jesus was circumcised at the end of 8 days, but that he was named Jesus. at the time, babies in Israel were given names when they were being circumcised. This was also the case for John the Baptist in chapter 1. For Christians, children's names are like their parents' confession of faith. No parent ever gives a name to their child without any thought. The name contains the parent's hope for their child's life. However, giving a name to a child has another significance. It is that by giving the name, the parents are putting the child under their care. After God created the universe, he thought it was not good for Adam to be alone. So he sent all kinds of animals to be Adam's helper. And Adam gave these animals names. This means the animals were under his command and that they were not equals to him. So God put Adam to a deep sleep and took a rib bone from him to create a woman. When Adam saw the woman, this is what he said. "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." In short, Adam is confessing that the woman was his equal. Jesus was not named by Mary and Joseph. That would have been impossible. How could humans, the creation, give name to the Lord, the Creator? Jesus was the name informed to them by the angel. By calling the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph were making a confession of life that the baby was the Savior of humankind. The second rite in the passage was the redemption of the firstborn. Verses 22 and 23 goes, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." When the Israelites left Egypt, there were 10 plagues that fell upon the Egyptians. The last plague was that all the firstborn sons would die. Not just the firstborns of humans, but the firstborn of all living creatures would die. At the time, even the firstborns of the Israelites were supposed to die, but they were spared if the household took the blood of a young lamb and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house. Afterwards, God said, "All the firstborn among Israelites should be set apart holy and dedicated to me, for they are mine." That is why all firstborn sons should be given to God. But because this was realistically difficult to do, the Israelites came up with the Levites' tradition. So Levites take the place of the firstborns to serve in the tabernacle, and people instead would offer 5 shekels of silver, which is about 57.5 grams. As soon as baby Jesus was born, he was dedicated at the temple. This shows us how we humans should live our lives. We too should dedicate ourselves to God. This is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your temple, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. God tells us our body is not our own. And yet, we continuously think it is ours. It is only after going through an unexpected experience in life that we think, I was wrong. And we start singing praise songs like, I've been a fool all my life. That is why we need to make sure the focus of our life is not on my own success, but on God's glory. The third rite is purification. Verses 22 and 24 goes, And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. During those days, a mother held the rite of purification 40 days after giving birth to a son and 80 days after a daughter. Despite Jesus being sinless, Mary conducted a rite of purification because Jesus' birth was considered impure for the sake of cleansing the sin and filth of us humans. One interesting thing is the sacrifice given by Mary and Joseph for Mary's purification. Leviticus 12, 6 through 8 talks about the sacrifices to be offered for purification. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. The sacrifices for purification were either a lamb and a pigeon. But if the mother could not afford a lamb, she could offer two pigeons instead. Mary and Joseph were going to offer two pigeons. That means they were not able to afford a lamb. At the time, a pigeon was worth one-tenth the value of a young lamb. That is how poor Jesus' family was. And that is why Jesus understands our needs, our emptiness, and our weaknesses. This is of great comfort and courage to us. Hymn number 563, Jesus Loves Me. This is how verse 3 goes. Though I'm very weak and ill, from his shining throne on high comes to watch me when I lie. The world only treats those who are strong as being valuable. If someone is considered weak, they look down on him or her and don't treat them properly. In fact, they mistreat them most of the times. But Jesus, even when we consider ourselves weak, cherishes us and considers us precious. Even when we feel we are in a low position, He holds us in high respect. Even when we are in our deepest of despairs, He comforts us, encourages us, and gives us hope. That is why the Lord is the Lord. Compared to the news given by the shepherds, the rites of circumcision, redemption of the first, dedication of the firstborn, and purification might sound a bit boring. When we read the Bible, we often highlight or underline verses that are inspiring or that touches our heart. Today's passage isn't such a passage. But most of our daily faith is not like the news given by the shepherds. It's more like the passage that we have read today. And this daily life faith of Mary and Joseph is what fostered Jesus to become the Savior. Are you by any chance disappointed that you don't have any extraordinary or mysterious experience in your life? Are you leading a life that is irrelevant to God? Daniel became the Daniel we know not because he went into a lion's den, but because he was worshiping God every day. Daniel was a boy when he was taken as hostage and served as a high official in an enemy state for over 60 years. His masters changed from the Empire of Babylon to the Persian Empire. His political enemies tried to find reasons to drag him down from his position, but to no avail. The only way they could drag Daniel down was to distort the relationship he had with his God, whom he served diligently. That is why the officials and high officials went to the king and asked, "For the next 30 days, if anyone petitions to a god or person that is not you, O king, throw him into the lion's den." And they got the king to sign the decree. Daniel knew that the king had signed such an ordinance, but he returned home, went to his roof, and opened the window towards Jerusalem, and as he had always done, prayed on his knees 3 times a day to God, giving thanks. Daniel knew about the decree. He knew what would happen if he was going against the king's ordinance. And yet, the first thing he did when he came home was to open the window towards Jerusalem, as he had always done. Jerusalem was the capital of his motherland, but it was also where the holy temple was. It was where God's house was. Even if he was thrown to the lions, Daniel was going to give thanks to the Lord who had been with him throughout, no matter what. For Daniel, prayer was his old habit. When he first came as hostage, he resolved not to defile himself and not eat the food given by the king. 60 years from then, even inside the lion's den, even when he was about to be eaten by the lions, he was praying towards Jerusalem because it was his habit. He was not praying that the lions in the den turn into rabbits. Even if he was about to be eaten by a lion, he was giving thanks to the Lord for being with him. Habitual faith is one of the best attitudes we can have in our faith. Attending worship service every Sunday, every time, is a good habit. If you come to service some Sundays, but go off mountain trekking on others, or enjoy your hobbies on other Sundays, you are not maturing as a Christian. So, and if you are about to have a meal and you don't look around, but you automatically bow your head and pray and thank to God for giving you the food, this is a good habit of faith. By just saying prayers before meal times, a family's faith could change. In the morning when you're about to start the day, or at night when you have finished the day, if you open your Bible, that is a good habit of faith. Habitualizing the right steps of faith are the stepping stones for maturing in your faith. But on the other hand, if you habitualize improper habits in faith, they will become obstacles to maturing your faith. The best habit of faith you can have is to obey God according to His Word. If we do as God tells us and every day paste our pieces of life to form our mosaic of life, when God's time comes and we look back on our lives, we will see that we have turned into masterpieces created by God. Let's pray. Father God, most of our lives and faith are not about extraordinary experiences or mysterious experiences. It is about daily life. And thank you for letting us realize that it is these daily lives that makes us mature. Young Samuel heard news that he could not, that was shocking. But in the morning he woke up and he did his everyday job, opening the doors to the house of Lord. Help us to open the doors of our everyday life in our faith. Instead of being moved by the big and small incidents in our lives, help us to become like Daniel and to always habitually open the windows towards you and to pray so that we can discover the significance of the things that happen in our lives, and that through such incidents we can become more mature and our thoughts can be deepened. When Mary and Joseph heard the news from shepherds, they did not overreact. Instead, they went through the everyday steps of performing the rites of circumcision, dedication of firstborn, and purification to baby Jesus. Likewise, help us to raise our children and our grandchildren in the processes of faith, and help us to become mature in this way. Above all, help us, give us the good faith, habits of faith, so that our habits can become stepping stones, not obstacles in our faith. Help us to obey your word every day and to paste the pieces of our lives every day honestly to become God's mosaic masterpieces when the time comes. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.